Hey everybody, I'm Mike McDonald. My buddy Jesse Stratton loves some of the cheesiest movies ever made. He spent years telling me about them all, so now I'm finally watching these movies for the very first time. This is our podcast where we break those movies down together. This is the Celluloid Dumpster Fire. Hey everybody, welcome back. Today we are talking about the 1994 sci-fi comedy Tammy and the T-Rex, movie about a high school student who is murdered so that his brain can be planted in an animatronic T-Rex.
Hell yeah. This movie kind of like got a resurgence here recently. The last couple of years, it was like an Easter egg in a video game.
Yes, the entire movie.
Yeah, and they did that with a couple of movies in that game, which I love. Like, I played the game just to watch the movies, just to see how they implemented that shit. It was all right. But I remember, like, when this came out on, like, VHS and shit, like, in at movie gallery and stuff. That's when I watched it. And, yeah, it messed my head up a lot back then. It was just so stupid and pointless. And you think it should have, like, you're missing something when you're watching the movie. You're like, they obviously edited this out. And like, no, it's all in there except for like some gore that they had to cut out to appease, you know, censors and shit, you know, the backers and stuff.
But well, yeah, fortunately for us, Tubi is showing it with all the gore, and it's worth it. If you like horror movie gore, maybe not.
Yeah.
If you like cheesy B movie gore, hell yeah.
Because if you like movies that don't make any sense, then this is the golden turkey. You won.
Yeah. This is, of course, a direct-to-video release, so there are no budget or box office numbers, although there was a limited theatrical release in 2019.
Yeah, because of how fucking weird.
Right.
Weird people want to see a weird movie, and yeah, you go like to the Alamo or something and watch this shit.
Exactly. Writer-director Stuart Raffel explained how this happened. He said that he was approached by a man who owns some theaters in South America, and he had an animatronic T-Rex, which had been sold to a park in Texas. The eyes moved, the arms moved, the head moved, and he had it for two more weeks before it had to be shipped to Texas. So he came to him and said, "We need to make a movie with this." And Stuart Raffel said, "Cool, what's the story?" And the guy with the T-Rex said, "No fucking idea, but let's make a movie."
Yeah, it's like, I bet I can make a movie with that. No, you can't. Yeah. He did it.
So in a week, Stuart had written the script, and they started shooting. So that's why it makes no sense. This was thrown together in a week. It was initially rated R. Most of the gore was taken out, like you said, to appeal to American audiences. But Tubi put it back in and let us see it all. And I'm so happy for that. Movie runs an hour and 22 minutes and has a 43% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes. Has a 39% audience score. I don't think enough of our listeners have watched it yet. As we said, it was directed by Stuart Raffel. He worked on Mac and Me, one of my favorite sci-fi comedy films, The Ice Pirates.
That's a great movie.
Passenger 57. He also worked as an animal supervisor on The Magical World of Disney, Lieutenant Robin Crusoe, U.S. Navy, and 27 episodes of the 1960s reboot of Tarzan. So, animal wrangler. Cool.
Yeah.
There are no animals in this movie. So,
well, T-Rex.
There's a T-Rex, but that's a robot.
It's a robot T-Rex. That's a robot.
Written by Stuart Raffel and Gary Brockett. Brockett works on a lot of Stuart Raffel films as a second unit director, actor, and producer. Stuart Raffel said for this, he was just trying to do a film for people that like wacky movies. In other words, you laugh at the experience that I was facing, which is, what the hell are you supposed to do with this material? He said, I was sticking all this shit in it just to make it work. Of course, when you only have a week to work on a script, it's a bit thin. I'm also the biggest plagiarist, I'm constantly asking the cast and crew if they have anything better they can add to it. And yeah, everybody's improvising in this movie and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Especially the deputies. I love the deputy. Special effects by Dennis Dion, who was known for Karate Kid 2, 3, and The Next Karate Kid. He also did special effects for Die Hard, Encino Man, and Flashback, Dennis Hopper, Kiefer Sutherland road trip film.
I love that movie.
I do too. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I got it on, I had it on VHS. Oh man. I haven't thought about that in forever. That was a flashback.
We're going to need people like you because the 90s are going to make the 60s look like the 50s.
Yeah, fuck. Oh, man, that's great shit. Had, what's her name in it, too?
Had Carol Kane in it.
Oh, God, I love Carol Kane.
Yeah, I do, too. Movie stars Denise Dennis. I just gender swapped the lead actress. Denise Richards is Tammy. She appeared in Love Actually, Wild Things. That was a messed up movie.
Yeah.
Starship Troopers, Spin City, Drop Dead Gorgeous, and almost every show that was on Fox in 1992.
She also accidentally got married to Charlie Sheen.
Yeah. I mean, you know, everybody's allowed one major mistake in their life.
Yeah.
Also have Paul Walker as Michael Brock. Known for Running Scared, The Young and the Restless, The Fast and the Furious franchise until he turned himself into a 10-piece McNuggets in 2013.
Also, he was in this weird-ass movie around the same time this one came out. It was a weird Disney movie where they were, I forgot the name of the movie. It's really weird, though. It's like there's these two brothers and they're surfers. But they don't live near the ocean. They just live near like a state park.
And I'm looking it up.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. And it has a goofy ass name. And like that was the one that he was known for being like his first movie, which technically I think this one is like Tammy and the T-Rex.
So his first credit, according to IMDb, Monster in the Closet. Well, that was a movie. He did a few episodes of Highway to Heaven. He was in a bizarre sitcom called Throb. He was on Charles in Charge, Who's the Boss? Did 32 episodes of The Young and the Restless, T-Rex, Touched by an Angel, Meet the Deedles.
That's it.
Meet the Deedles was like 4 years after this.
Really? Like, yeah. I don't know. I remember when...
It was the same year that he was in Pleasantville.
Okay. But yeah, it's like when the Fast and Furious and shit and stuff came out, would pull clips from Meet the Deedles, like in interviews and shit, and try to embarrass them and stuff. And like, little did they know, they could have went like just a couple years more back and pulled the shit from Taming the T-Rex. But then again, he dies like in the first 5 minutes of that movie.
Yeah, he's not in this movie for long. And then, of course, in 2013, he was in his Porsche with his buddy. His buddy was driving. They were doing somewhere between 80 and 95 miles an hour in a 45 mile an hour zone, crashed into a concrete barrier and a couple of trees, caught on fire, and that's the end of Paul Walker. Terry Kaiser is Dr. Walkenstein, best known as Bernie Lomax in Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah, that guy plays the best dead guy I've ever seen.
That's got to be the easiest paycheck ever.
I've never seen a dead guy walk around.
Sunglasses, don't freaking move.
No, because like in the second one, they got that voodoo curse on, so he had to be a dead guy, but then he also had to walk around.
Okay.
With an arrow in his head. That's amazing acting. I couldn't do it.
He was also in Friday the 13th, The New Blood, and Lois and Clark. And Ellen Dubin as Helga. She appeared in Napoleon Dynamite, Lex, Earth, The Final Conflict, and lots of video game voice acting, including Skyrim, Elder Scrolls Online, World of Warcraft, and Fallout 4. Some of my favorite games.
Yeah, that show Lex was messed up.
That was really messed up, and I need to go back and watch it again.
They got the two movies, they kicked it off, and like the entire series. Oh, crap, what was that on? I watched that girl
that was dressed like the girl in Fifth Element, but it was nothing like the Fifth Element.
Yeah, and she had that little TV head.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a great show. It's weird.
It was very weird. Kind of weird, like Farscape.
Nah, Farscape was great. I mean, yeah, they had that kind of eeriness to it, but like Lex was really fucked up.
Yeah, I think Farscape's budget might have went away at some point, and they just tried to hold it together, but it didn't.
Yeah.
Movie opens with credits calling this not Tammy and the T-Rex, but Tanny and the Teenage T-Rex.
Yeah. With
N's instead of M's in Tammy. There's a high school cheerleading practice, and a football player walks into the gym to watch. This is Tammy's boyfriend. They leave together, and they bump into Byron, Tammy's gay friend. I really like Byron. He's fun. Michael gave Tammy a yellow rose, and she cannot accept it. She has a psycho ex-boyfriend, so she gives the rose back, and Michael eats the rose, because why not?
Fucking weirdo.
The director said, do whatever you feel like, so we ate the rose. They're also going to a party this weekend. That's when Tammy's ex, Billy, and his entourage show up to start a fight with Michael. A crowd of students is watching the fight. Tammy is screaming, stop it, while a bunch of feral-looking girls clearly want to see somebody get hurt bad. I mean, they were way over the top cheering on this fight.
Yeah, that was an acting. That's for real.
Yeah, they were about to burst a blood vessel or something. It was crazy.
Those are bad girls, and they live for this shit.
The fight turns into a pro wrestling match when Billy starts dropping elbows. I don't know why, but man, oh man. And the fight breaks up when the police arrive. And by that time, Billy and Michael have grabbed each other by the balls.
Yeah, no, the fight goes from like a simple like pushing match to unsanctioned street fight, WWE style, to basically just two grown men grabbing each other by the dick and squeezing into like, the fight went all over the place.
The deputies try to break this up, but before that, they stop and analyze the situation. What we have here is a testicular standoff.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's Buck Flower.
Yeah, he's awesome. I love that guy.
Yeah, I'll watch anything with that guy in it.
They pull him apart. Michael's fine now. I don't know why he was hollering. He's not hurt now. And the cop asks him, what's the matter? But why are you so calm? Don't you have any balls? He says, I'm wearing a cup. So what the hell was Billy grabbing that was making him holler?
I don't know, man.
Maybe he was just playing it up to keep Billy's hand in his crotch so he could grab Billy's balls.
Yeah. Oh, that's messed up.
Well, the cops drag Billy away, and the whole time Billy's screaming that he's going to kill Michael. A T-Rex in a smoky room. Smell of wine and cheap perfume. That's all we get. We get a T-Rex and lots of smoke. More smoke than an X-Files episode.
Yeah, no, it was like the Smoking Man, like times 10.
Three people enter and they marvel at it. There's a guy, Bobby, up in the booth. I love Bobby. If you watch the Children of the Corn movies, you might recognize Bobby. But this is Dr. Walkenstein and his assistant. He's got two assistants, Helga and Carl. They're here to see the T-Rex move. So Carl picks up a dumbbell and hands it to the T-Rex, which the T-Rex grabs with his tiny little T-Rex arms and throws it at Dr. Walkenstein and nearly hits him with it.
It's like obviously one of them robots that you would see like in one of those kids' museums.
Right.
It's like, yeah, it's just like the most static robot. Like this thing's not going to walk around. It's not going to throw anything at it. It's just, it's going to open its mouth, roar, maybe lift its head up and down.
Yeah. But we got somebody with a T-Rex sleeve on just off camera.
Tossing it.
Yep. Then they want to check out his bite. So Carl holds up a log and the T-Rex just chomps the log into. Walkenstein explains his plan. He's going to make this T-Rex mobile by giving it a brain. Cut to Michael at home being sad when his phone rings. It's Tammy, so he's not sad anymore. She apologizes for running off and leaving him. Then she invites him over and he is on his way. But she warns him he's got to sneak in. Don't park in front of the house and don't knock on the door. Just come to the side window. So Michael gathers up his clothes and his only condom, which he kisses, and then he leaves.
Oh, my God. Kiss for love.
There you go. Michael arrives at Tammy's house, and he's got to climb up the trellis. And as he does this, two girls drive by and see him. They decide that they're going to call Billy and tell him what they just saw. These are the two feral girls from the fight, too. They just chaos junkies.
Yeah.
Well, Michael gets into Tammy's room and immediately starts knocking things over, you know, the way you do. And her parents, who are in the living room in the same house, they call Tammy on the telephone, the landline phone, to ask her what's going on up there.
I don't know. I knew, like, plenty of people had, like, their own line. I
mean, yeah, but if you're in the same house, wouldn't you just go knock on the door and, hey, what the fuck are you doing in there?
Especially, like, yeah, no. But, like, you know, affluent white people and shit. Like, they're just like, yeah, no, if it was my kid, I would like, all right, what the fuck are you doing in here? Like, I'd kick open the door and stuff. But
you wouldn't even get to the door. Just yell from the living room.
Yeah.
Just yell, knock it off in there.
Knock that shit off, yeah. But, yeah, no. I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of weird.
Well, Tammy doesn't want him to know that she has Michael in her bedroom. So she tells him that she was just doing her homework and she accidentally dropped her dictionary.
Yeah, okay.
Michael gives Tammy a bracelet and they start making out on her bed. Downstairs, Tammy's parents are having tea when Billy arrives and he barges into the house and heads upstairs to Tammy's room. So Michael has to sneak out through the window. Billy starts going through Tammy's room and finds Michael's jacket, then looks out the window and sees him running. So these guys take off after Michael. So Michael does the only thing that makes sense. He runs right past his own truck and continues on foot.
That's another thing. It's like, it's not just Billy. It's like Billy, his two little hoodlum buddies, and then those two crazy chicks. So like a whole army of people just show up to like stop this makeout session. And the parents are just kind of clueless in the whole thing.
Right. So, like I said, Michael ran right past his truck as Billy and his crew, they jump in the car and chase him. They chase him into a park where Billy beats him down with a baseball bat. Then they load Michael into the trunk of the car and drive away. The girls follow them to a gated area. They cut the lock and enter what the sign says is the Wild Animal Park.
Mm-hmm.
This can't be good. They drive past a lion, and Billy has seen all he needs to see. He tells the guys to stop the car. They take Michael out of the trunk, and Billy tells Michael that he's going to let him go. So Michael thanks Billy, and Billy tells Michael that he's going to kill him next time. Then they all pile into their car, and they leave Michael in the park with wildcats watching him. Not those two feral girls, actual real wildcats. Michael starts walking kind of cautiously, but the cats are stalking him. The lion starts chasing him through the trees. So Michael climbs up a tree, but he falls out of that tree as soon as he realizes there's a cougar in it. Then the lion attacks him. I mean, he's got him down on the ground just ripping. That's when a man with a rifle arrives and he shoots at the lion. We see an ambulance speeding down a road. And cut to the next morning at the hospital. No gore at all there. Sorry. You get to see kind of the idea, but that's it. I said there were no animals in this. I completely forgot about this part.
Oh, yeah, with the cats.
Yeah. Tammy and Byron arrive at the hospital, and they ask where Michael is. He's in intensive care. Dr. Feinberg is being paged to OR in a nod to the Three Stooges. Paging Dr. Howard, Dr. Fine, Dr. Howard. In Michael's hospital room, Michael is unconscious, but suspiciously not chewed up.
Yeah.
There's not a mark on this guy. He'd been beat down with a baseball bat and mauled by a lion, and not a mark on him. Pretty sure everybody in this movie's in their own clothes, too.
Yeah, nah.
You know, maybe there was some wardrobe. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, most of them are probably in their own clothes.
Right. Michael's Uncle Bob is passed out in a chair. Byron is having a panic attack, so he helps himself to Uncle Bob's whiskey bottle. That's when Billy arrives. This asshole's everywhere.
Yeah.
He has come to claim Tammy, and when she refuses to go with him, he slaps her, so Tammy kicks him in the nuts. His henchman, Weasel, moves toward Tammy, but Byron threatens to scratch his eyes out. The gay jokes abound in this movie.
Yeah, very campy type shit.
Right. Well, Billy and his goons leave, and Dr. Wachenstein and Helga arrive. They want to see Dr. Rosenbaum, so the receptionist gives him directions to find Dr. Rosenthal. The script was really just a suggestion here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, shit, the title is just a suggestion. We already know that because Tanny is way different than Tammy.
Right. Well, they encounter Dr. Rosen whatever, who called Dr. Wachenstein about Michael. He has been comatose for 15 hours, and that makes him fair game. Dr. Wachenstein enters the room, introduces himself and Helga. Byron thinks he saw Helga in a movie, but Wachenstein says that, you didn't see that movie. So maybe Helga's a porn star?
Oh, yeah, no, that's totally implying.
And she's always eating something. She's either chewing gum or she's eating something all the time.
Like Brad Pitt.
Yep. Helga starts messing with the heart monitor as Wachenstein starts doing CPR, just yelling, live, 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 for about 5 seconds, and then he declares Michael dead. Tammy and Byron pass out, and Helga wheels Michael's corpse out of the room. That's when Uncle Bob comes to, says, this is a bad day for everybody. Takes a big drink from his flask, and he's out too. Helga cannot drive a gurney. She's hitting everything in the hallway.
Yeah.
Probably no acting there. It was probably a real thing. She wheels Michael out of the hospital, and that's when Michael wakes up. So Helga injects something, and Michael is out of it again. They're going to load him in the car. That's when he becomes Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz. He had a weird dream that he was in Kansas, and you were there, and you were there. And so Helga just decks him, and they load him in the car and drive away. They arrive at Dr. Wachenstein's lair and prepare Michael for surgery. Wachenstein is chain smoking and cutting the top of Michael's head off with a jigsaw. He makes an incision across his forehead with a scalpel. That's when Michael comes to again, but don't worry, Helga decks him again and he's out. Then he gets an old Black & Decker jigsaw and just cuts the top of Michael's head off.
Very sloppy.
Spraying
though.
Blood.
He's going like backwards and forwards on it. He's supposed to like, I'm not a serial killer, none. There's like one clean swoop. And yeah. He's just like going backwards and forwards like he's actually sawing with a wood saw, like a hand saw.
Right, right.
And they're like, oh yeah, this little fuck it. It is like the fucking Three Stooges. Because then you got like the muscle man. He throws up like tuna fish or something. Hey, you're right. Like the nurses the whole time is like chain smoking and like ashing on the operating room. Yeah. And shit. And then you got that goofy nerd like just covered in blood doing like icky, and they're just like squirting them off stream with like fake blood in a bottle.
Right. Ned spraying blood now in his defense, I used to have one of those Black & Decker skill saws, and after like the second or third time you've used it, that thing won't cut a hot turd.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. It's totally used. They should have got a new model.
And then there's this weird head gag where the top of the head just doesn't fit.
Yeah.
It's like from the eyebrows down, the head is too small for the lid. Wachenstein starts poking Michael's brain. Just for laughs. He said, watch this. This one's my favorite. And he pokes it and he gets a giant boner. And then he removes the brain from Michael's skull. And there, Bobby has a stupid, he's lost his mind joke.
Yeah. And it does this weird thing where they got like the fake head that the brain was in. And yeah. you could tell it's like a dummy from the shoulders down. And then they got that on top of someone for real who's like laying in the chair. And when they pull the brain out, it does like this weird kicking thing, which is already dead. Like if he's dead and you're taking the brain out and he kicks, that means he's still alive.
I guess. I mean, the body started spasming and it's Carl stupid. Freaked out and he goes, what the hell's wrong with him? And Bobby says, he's lost his mind.
Yeah, no. Oh, God.
Walkenstein puts the brain in a bowl of green bubbling juice while Bobby connects the wires to the T-Rex controls. They test the connection, making the T-Rex kick Carl. Then they hook up the eyes and then the voice. And once they're done, they'll perform the final lobotomy in the morning, I guess to erase any remnants of Michael, but keep all the motor functions there.
Yeah, you could take his personality away from him.
And Bobby and Carl need to clean everything up and take the body back to the morgue. And Bobby calls Walkenstein an asshole, and then he tries to cover that up by saying, oh, you probably just heard my stomach grumbling since we haven't had anything to eat all day. That's when Walkenstein tells him, well, order a pizza. So they do. They order delivery from Sons of Sicily Pizza, which is actually a pizza place in Shrewsbury, Pennsylvania. This was not filmed anywhere near Pennsylvania.
No, it was totally LA.
Yeah. I said the whole film was the whole movie was made within just a few miles of the director's house because you don't want to drive all the way out to a set. No.
No, I don't
just know. Do it at my house.
Especially with a fucking T-Rex monster that got in my garage. I can't really move.
Right. The delivery guy enters the lab, and that's when the T-Rex wakes up. When the delivery guy walks closer and calls out again, the T-Rex taps him on the shoulder and scares him and roars, and that scares him away.
You know who that delivery guy is?
Who is the delivery guy?
That's Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite.
Yes, it is. Bobby and Carl enter the room. Bobby still hasn't washed the blood off, and he is mocking Dr. Walkenstein. They find the pizza and start eating. They didn't pay for the pizza, but Carl still wants Bobby to come up with his half of the money. So they're eating pizza and talking about the T-Rex. And Bobby reassembles Michael's head while the T-Rex watches. He staples it all back on. And Carl gets the car. Bobby is mocking Michael the T-Rex, saying there's no way he'll be better than a computer. And he taunts Michael, then he turns his back. And that's when Michael just leans down and rips Bobby's head off. And it was a great effect. I mean, it was just silicon goo, but it was awesome. He tries to pull it out of his teeth because he got it stuck in his teeth.
Yeah, that's funny. And also when he runs away.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
He gets his head ripped off and he runs away like 4 feet.
Yeah, and just nosedive into some boxes.
Well, he doesn't have a nose anymore, but yeah, I get it.
No, you gotta hide the actual head from the camera. So we're gonna stick it in some boxes.
Also, yeah, it's like those are safety boxes, but it's just like, oh, that's great.
Yeah, but there's our first. Our first kill for Michael. Michael is going to go on a murderous rampage here before long. Don't worry. There's going to be plenty more. Then Michael walks over to his human corpse and he picks up a mirror to see himself. Interestingly, his tiny little baby T-Rex arms can hold the mirror out there well enough that his big ass T-Rex head can see it. We're not going to talk about the anatomy of a T-Rex because that will ruin the whole story.
Yeah. It's like when they get cats to drive and shit. It's just like a puppet arm. And it just kind of, you can tell it definitely tell it's just a stick with like a fucking something on it, you know, skin.
Yep.
And they don't even try to make it look like it bends or anything. It's just, that's an arm.
Yep.
It's a hand. Yeah. Especially in this next scene, you know, after he escapes out of the thing.
Yeah. When Michael sees himself in the mirror, he starts roaring and Carl comes back in. That's when Michael walks towards him, stalking him. Carl tries to do his Chuck Norris. So Michael just kicks him through a wall. Problem solved. Michael leaves the building and frightens a woman at a payphone. Then he stomps Carl flat. And that's the end of Carl. And he starts toward the woman on the phone who is apparently talking to her bookie. And she yells her numbers into the phone and then runs away.
Yeah, she still places a bet.
She still places her bet, but then she gets the hell out of there. So Michael, as a giant T-Rex, remember, walks up to the payphone and dials Tammy's phone number.
That shit where like his little T-Rex finger hits the thing so he can get a dial tone.
Yeah.
Oh God, that shit is like just, oh man. I remember doing it. I was like, yeah. Oh, then he like, he calls her and shit and then like doesn't get an answer. And then he checks to see if he can get a quarterback. And that's just, oh yeah. God.
Yeah, because then that's what made the whole thing believable for me is check the coin slot. You always check the coin slot on a payphone. I miss payphone. I don't miss payphones.
Yeah, no, it sucks.
So after he gets off the phone, he kind of left a roaring message for Tammy. He gets off the phone and a couple exit the building. The woman sees the T-Rex there and thinks it's just the best thing ever. The guy says, no, don't go near that. I think I saw it move. And he says, no, it's awesome. I want to get a picture. And that's when Michael roars at her and then freaks her out and they're gone too.
Yep.
Cut to a backyard party. The girls who set Billy on Michael, they are dancing together with a guy that kind of resembles a biker if John Belushi was bigger and a biker.
I don't know. It's weird. He looks like a high school kid dressed up like a biker from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
Which this is like the mid-90s, early 90s. So, yeah, no, like that fashion sense. I mean, there's definitely someone making him dress up like that. But yeah, it's like it's like a wacky ass all school party and everybody's dressed wacky.
Right. And sitting in the middle of all these dancing people, there is a table and sad Tammy is seated at the table with her friend that we probably won't see again.
Yeah. Not her gay friend.
Not her gay friend. Just some girl who. Yeah. Leaves as soon as one of these other girls walks up. She wants to apologize. She wants to apologize for what happened to Michael. And that's when Byron arrives with drink. He brought her a kamikaze and a shot of vodka to chase it with.
Ew, gross.
When I drank, I loved.
I don't know, man. It's better to like clean stuff with than a drink.
Well, Billy and his goons arrive, of course. Billy approaches Tammy and says he just wants to talk to her. She says she never wants to see him again and leaves. So Billy starts dancing with some other girl. The ground starts shaking as Byron is talking to a drunken Molly Ringwald lookalike at the bar.
Yeah.
They have a bar and a high school student who is playing bartender at this party. Who goes to a party and decides, I'm going to be the bartender?
Non-drinkers, probably. I don't know.
I mean, but you have to work through the whole fucking party. That's stupid.
Yeah.
Michael sees Byron, and on the dance floor, he sees Billy. Billy takes this girl off into the trees, and Weasel tries to follow him, but Billy sends him away. So Weasel just turns around and sees this giant T-Rex, which is not moving at all. So he decides it's a statue and he's going to take a leak on it. And that's exactly what he does. And he pees on Michael's leg. And that's when Michael raises his foot and slices Weasel's belly open, dumping his guts on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of weird the way they did it. I mean, they did the slash. And you see the front of his shirt got ripped open, and then it cuts in close to him, and he's holding this pile of guts against himself and just lets them drop.
Yeah, it's definitely a cheesy edited way to do it, a gory effect.
Yeah, but it works. So. It was funny because, honestly, in this movie, given you know, the kind of movie we're watching, believable gore would have been a problem.
Yeah. Also, they made it in like 2 weeks, like from start to finish, like concept, all that.
Yeah.
So like it worked.
Yep. Billy's car is rocking and Michael heads toward it. And there is some loud sex going on in the back seat of this car. You see Billy in there and some girl's legs sticking straight up in the air. And the girl starts screaming when she sees the T-Rex. Billy doesn't see the T-Rex. He just hears her screaming. He goes, "I'm good, right? I'm good, right?"
Yeah, it's loud sex. It's not good sex, dude.
Yeah. That's when Michael chomps her foot and pulls her out from under Billy out of the car. Billy panics and runs away, and the rest of the partiers start to scatter. Billy runs to a tent where some people are drinking and yells that they need to call the police. And that's when Michael just chomps Billy's head the same way he did Bobby. And then this was a good one. I mean, they pulled the head off. You know, you get the stringy latex too, and the body slumps to the ground, and then the head drops, and it's just a rubber mask filled with fake blood just splats on the ground.
Yeah, it's probably not like my favorite kill of the movie.
Yeah.
This one. That and where he jumps on that kid under the car.
As the partiers run out of the tent, Michael does the only thing that makes sense. He sticks his giant T-Rex leg out and trips him up on the sidewalk. he stomps just about everybody, but then he approaches Byron, picks him up off the ground, dusts his jacket off. Byron gives a very, very scared thank you and runs away. More of Billy's entourage are hiding under the car as Michael approaches. So Michael does the only thing that makes sense. He climbs up on top of the car and crushes them, making blood spurt out of their foreheads.
That shit was good. It's corny, but it's funny. It's funny. Yeah, it's funny.
It was funny.
For one, you got this giant T-Rex walking up on top of a car. All right. He sets on the hood and sets on, and it's like a little sports car or something. It's like a dart.
Yeah.
Some shit. And then, yeah, he just both legs jumps up and like stomps on these kids in this car.
Yep.
It's like some Super Mario Brothers shit or something. I don't know. It's just, it seems funny to me.
The cops arrive and everybody is either dead or gone. The sheriff is being called from corpse to corpse. Sheriff Black is played by J.J. Saunders. He was in Beetlejuice, The Incredible Hulk, Life Goes On, House Party, and Salvage One, where Andy Griffith owned a junkyard and built a rocket ship so that he could salvage space junk.
I want them to redo that. And just put Billy Bob in it or something. I don't even care who's the main guy. I just want to see.
It's basically the origin story for SpaceX.
Yeah, but it's like a junkyard dealer who's like, you know what? I bet there's a bunch of trash on the moon. I'm going to go get that shit. And he builds a rocket, but it's Andy Griffith too.
Yeah, oh God. Andy Griffith built a rocket out of junkyard parts and flew it into space to recover dead satellites.
See that? Oh, man. I don't know.
I loved that show.
They only ran like half a season or something, didn't it? They didn't go the whole
show. Yeah, they killed it during the first season.
It's on YouTube.
I think it's definitely on YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, they just didn't address the logistics of launching a rocket into space in a neighborhood.
But I don't know. I like the whole deal. It's like Sanford and Son.
Right.
And like, yeah.
If Fred Sanford was white and had a rocket.
Imagine like, yeah, though, if Fred Sanford like ran into aliens like Captain Kirk, kind of hijinks and shit that they would get up to. Oh, man.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Well, he's getting called from one squashed body to another. One of the deputies is eating popcorn while he pokes at Billy's crushed head with a stick. The deputies joke about the sheriff being squeamish. That's when they hear a sound under the overturned bar. It's the bartender kid and drunk Molly Ringwald. That's what I'm gonna. I don't know what the girl's name is. I didn't even look up who the actor was. I just know that she's the one who looks like Molly Ringwald.
Drunk Molly. Yeah, no, that's perfect.
The girl tells the sheriff it was a dinosaur that did all this. And that's when Byron shows up. It turns out Byron is the sheriff's son. And the gay jokes begin.
That's a little messed up because, like, they're the only two black people in the movie.
Right. The deputies wander off, and one of them says to the other one, if you drop anything out here, don't you bend over to pick it up.
Dick.
Byron confirms for the sheriff that it really was a dinosaur, and that's when the sheriff wants everybody drug tested, including the victims. Deputy Neville says they found two more squished bodies and a one-legged girl, but she's still pretty good looking. Cut to Helga rolling up flattened Carl and licking the blood off her fingers.
That shit's funny as fuck. Once you see that guy flattened out like a goddamn cartoon character, you'll lose your shit, man. It looks like a Dick Tracy character or something, like Flat Freddy. It's fucking funny.
It's just like when Dr. Dredd got run over by the steamroller.
Oh, hell yeah.
Dr. Walkenstein is excited about bringing the T-Rex to life. They'll just dispose of the bodies, and they walk back inside, dragging Flat Carl behind them. At home, Tammy just came out of the shower. She sits down at her vanity and starts applying her makeup when a T-Rex walks down the middle of the street in broad daylight the way T-Rexes do.
Yeah.
The whole house is shaking and Tammy is trying really, really hard to pretend that it isn't. And then T-Rex Michael is at her window. She sees him and she screams. Her parents are in the kitchen, but they can't hear anything over the blender, but her dad is worried because that scream didn't sound right. So they head upstairs and knock, and when they enter her room, they can see she's not in the room. Stuff is knocked over all over the place, and it looks like Tammy went out the window. At an old barn, Michael is watching Tammy while she lays unconscious on a stack of hay bales. She wakes up, panicked. And Michael is pantomiming, trying to tell Tammy that he is in the T-Rex now. And he mimes eating the rose. And then he points to her bracelet that was a gift from Michael. And then it becomes a dumb game of charades as he tells her that his brain was implanted in the T-Rex. And that makes Tammy cry because she misses Michael so much. Aw.
Aw.
Back at Tammy's house, deputies are taking measurements, trying to figure out what happened to Tammy. The sheriff thinks a dinosaur stole her. And just at that moment, Tammy returns. Byron runs to her, and she tells him you can see her alone later. See me alone later. And then Tammy tries to play the whole thing off. She says she thinks a meteor caused the mess. And she was out checking the fields for damage, but they're in the suburbs. What fields? This isn't a farm.
I don't know. I think she might have hit her head on a meteorite or something.
Maybe so.
But
meanwhile, Dr. Walkenstein and Helga are watching all this from their car parked across the street. They're trying to track down Michael to show him to their investors. And Dr. Walkenstein knows that Tammy just came from seeing Michael. He can tell by the way she's walking.
That's fucked up.
That is really fucked up. Apparently having sex with a dinosaur makes you walk weird for a while.
She didn't have sex with a dinosaur.
Then he sends Helga to go get a truck to carry Michael. The sheriff sends Byron away, and as he leaves, Tammy tells Byron that Michael is still alive inside the T-Rex, and Michael believes her. And they need to get Michael's body back. They're going to snatch the body at Michael's funeral. No problem. There are zero holes in this plan.
There's all holes in this plan.
At Michael's funeral, the pastor is going on. And his aunt and uncle, Michael's aunt and uncle are there. And they want to say a few words. Michael is watching this from the trees. nobody notices the giant fucking dinosaur at the funeral.
Yeah, usually when people fake their death and shit, they're always, you know, in movies and shit and TV shows, they're watching from the trees in like a black pea coat with like a hat and sunglasses on.
Yeah, this guy's watching from the trees as a dinosaur.
I wanted them to put the fucking pea coat, like the jacket and the hat and glasses on the dinosaur. Like, that would have been great. Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
He's incognito, man. They can't recognize me.
Uncle Bob gets all emotional while he's giving his eulogy, and that makes Michael cry T-Rex tears, which is just a stream of water pouring out of the T-Rex head.
Like a lot. Looked like he broke something.
But the preacher has had enough, and he just shoves Bob out of the way. It's over with.
That shit was great. Like, low-key funny shit like that.
Yeah.
All right. And he pushes him.
Well, the pastor finishes the prayer, and he gets the hell out of there fast. Everybody else files out. Helga has got a cargo van or a cargo truck, and she gets out of the truck dressed like Peggy Bundy in a leopard print cat suit.
Hell yeah.
I love the Bundys. I'm just going to say.
That's a good show.
I love that bit where Al is going hunting, and Kelly is worried about him. So she starts talking to him about this documentary she saw where rabbits will grab the end of your gun and tie a knot in it so that when you fire, it blows up in your face. Or they'll wait for you to stick it down in the rabbit hole, and they'll grab the end of it and stretch it out real long and take it out to another hole behind you so that when you fire, you shoot yourself in the butt. And she's telling him this because to be forewarned is to have forearm.
Fucking A.
But yeah, Helga looks exactly like Kelly Bundy, and looks exactly like Peggy Bundy in this costume.
My favorite episode was the aliens.
Yeah.
Are they coming to get his socks for gas for their ship?
Or when Sam Kinison was his guardian angel.
An angel, yeah, no, that was pretty good.
Well, Dr. Walkenstein is parked right in front of the truck. Helga, like I said, she's always eating. This time she's eating a tomato. Walkenstein explains his plan to sell robot bodies for dying people and pets. At the grave, Tammy is waiting with Byron and passed out Uncle Bob by the open grave. Tammy wants Byron to get down in the grave and steal back Michael's body, and Byron won't do it, so Tammy has to do it. When she opens up the coffin, though, it's filled with rats that have eaten away most of Michael's face.
Oh, yeah, and he's like complete. He looks like some kind of like prop from a Halloween store. And yeah. There's like, yeah, there's a bunch of full grown like lab mice in there.
Yeah, big
When they drag her out of that thing, they're like, those rats are like holding on for dear life to her dress and shit.
Yeah, because they're pinned to the dress. They're not real. Yeah. They're not even moving at that point. They're just hanging off of her dress. Byron pulls Tammy out of the grave. Walkenstein and Helga arrive, and Walkenstein takes Tammy hostage to get Michael into the truck. Helga knocks Byron into the open grave. Now, he's freaking out, trying to get out, and he can't get out. Tammy fights off Walkenstein, and he falls into the grave. Then she knocks Helga into the grave and helps Byron out. Tammy tells Byron they need Walkenstein because Byron's there stomping on Walkenstein's fingers as he's trying to climb out of the grave. Tammy tells Byron, no, we need him because he's got to put Michael's brain back in a body. She promises Michael they'll find him another body, and they leave. Cut to Michael in the back of the truck headed down the road. They pull up at the morgue, and Byron and Tammy head inside. Walkenstein and Helga are tied up in the front seat of the truck.
Oh, man, yeah.
Now, it's going to get super weird here.
I love this bit.
They search the morgue for an appropriate body, and in the cooler, they find a body that Byron likes. But when Byron uncovers this corpse's equipment, Tammy is not interested. Byron, however, is interested. They bring it to the window for Michael to choose. You know, he should have a say in which body he gets, right?
They're literally window shopping for bodies.
They are window shopping for bodies. But Michael thinks this one's too short. The next one isn't cute enough. He rejects all the corpses, including the woman. This guy doesn't have a body, and he's being picky about the body that he's going to get, which any one of them would be better than nobody.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a high school kid. What the hell does he? Then the police arrive as Helga and Walkenstein have managed to get out of the truck and are hopping away. Tammy and Byron hop in the truck and they drive off with Michael, and the deputies give chase. Back in the parking lot, Dr. Walkenstein tells Helga to chew on his rope, and she is only too happy to drop down to her knees and do that.
Also, as they drive away, the T-Rex gives them the finger.
Yes. Now, the T-Rex only has two fingers, but he shows them the
one. Yeah, the one. I'm number one.
The police are chasing a truck carrying a T-Rex through the streets. Deputy Neville yells at Byron to pull over. Byron says, "I haven't done anything wrong." And Neville says, "You stole a goddamn dinosaur."
Also, they keep on treating it like it's an actual dinosaur, but right. It's a robot.
It is definitely a robot. Yeah. That'll be a very important point to remember coming up here.
Oh, yeah.
Byron turns a corner to lose him, and Neville tells the sheriff that the truck is being driven by his son. He had to correct himself because he said it's being driven by your son. They radio the sheriff, and he joins the chase. Byron's driving the truck, though, and he tells Tammy, "Hang on to your boobs, girl. It's going to be a bumpy ride." They turn down a dirt road and go through an orchard or a vineyard or something. And the police are gaining, and tree limbs are just smacking this T-Rex in the face the whole time.
Yeah.
They stop just before they crash into a pond. And Michael gets tossed out of the truck, and the police are closing in on him. Tammy says, "Oh, look, he's hurt. He's bleeding." And that's when Byron reminds him he can't bleed. He's a robot. Well, Byron is going to try to stall the police, and he blocks the road, and the sheriff tells the deputies to arrest him, and then the sheriff heads to the truck, and they approach to see Tammy on the other side of the pond riding off on the T-Rex in probably the worst animation of the movie.
Yeah, I don't know, man. When he fought that guy earlier, that muscle guy, the henchman.
Yeah.
That was some really bad. I mean, it was totally like green screened on there and stuff, but it was like really bad.
So Tammy rides off into the sunset, and the sheriff tells the deputies to call a dog catcher. Mm-hmm. And deputies go, "Are you kidding?" "Yes, of course I'm kidding, dumbass." Sometime later, a cyclist is going down a dirt road to a house. He is being followed by a cop car. A cop car that he is oblivious to. The deputies get out and they watch Byron through their binoculars and they call the sheriff. Meanwhile, Byron arrives at the barn where Tammy and Michael are asleep. Byron brought food and water. He says the whole world is looking for him. That's what happens when you go riding off on a T-Rex. And they need to get Dr. Walkenstein and get him to put Michael's brain in another body. But the sheriff and his deputies have arrived. Well, Byron thinks he can talk them down. They need to surrender, though. So in order to do that, they need to make a white flag, right? So what do they have that's white besides Tammy?
Yeah.
Cut to Tammy and Byron exiting the barn, waving a flag made out of Tammy's bra.
Uh-huh.
Byron says they are not there to surrender. They are there to negotiate, but the sheriff isn't hearing it and has them both arrested. And Tammy starts screaming. That gets Michael mad, and he comes to the door of the barn. Dr. Wachenstein and Helga show up to reclaim the dinosaur. He's going to use a tranquilizer on him. Wait a minute. How can you use a tranquilizer if it's a robot?
Yeah, stupid.
And that's when Dr. Wachenstein said, I wasn't going to tell you this, but I guess I have to now. This robot is controlled by a computer that's powered by organic growing crystals. So tranquilizers totally work.
Organic crystals.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
They did it in Superman.
Yeah, but... You know what? Yeah, okay. Yeah, they did in Superman.
The sheriff agrees to let the doc tranquilize Michael, and he has a huge tranquilizer gun. The kind of gun that the army uses to shoot through buildings. Because, as the doctor explains, they don't make small tranquilizer guns.
Yeah, they do.
In the barn, the huge fucking dinosaur is hiding. They use the doctor and Helga are calling to him, and all of a sudden, he pops out of the dark and bites the doctor's guts out in the worst gore effect, because, you know, he sees him bite the box that has the guts in it. And then the whole thing just pulls away from his body. But he bit the doctor's guts out. Doctor's finally dead. I'm happy now. Helga goes, he spits the doctor's guts out into Helga's face. She goes running out of the barn, trying in vain to cover up her ass, but her miniskirt keeps riding up. More people have arrived outside the barn. No idea where they came from or who they are, but now there's like a dozen people out there with guns. And as Michael exits the barn, they all open fire. Michael collapses, and Tammy runs to him. The mechanical bits are shutting down. Michael is dying here, and everybody is crying, including the two deputies who are holding each other. Tammy arrives home. She is happy as can be. Her parents are concerned that she is too happy after all she's been through. And her mom says it's just not right that she's that happy. And her dad says, well, it's not right him being up there like that. In Tammy's bedroom, she gets a bottle of liquor and turns on her computer. She takes the lens cap off of a camera and begins talking to Michael. And he can talk back to her through her computer now. She asks if he wants the usual. She's also going to check out some frozen bodies of dead skiers. Maybe that they can put his brain in one of those bodies. And she pours a glass of whiskey, holds it up to the camera and says, cheers. And then she pours it over Michael's brain, which is sitting in a bowl on her desk, where you would keep a brain, naturally. Then she offers him a little action, and he readily agrees. She leaves and comes back to do a strip tease for Michael. And as her act heats up, the wires plugging into his brain start shooting sparks all over the place. She says she loves him. He says she has to get him a body because he can't take any more of this. Fade to black and roll credits.
One of the most weirdest endings to any movie ever.
It was definitely the weirdest ending. I would, going into this, I never would have seen that as being the ending ever.
That's why you just kind of see this movie because it's like it's filmed like something that would appear on the Disney Channel, but right. There's shit, there's bits in it, and there's jokes that would never land on that. And then it's just like the weirdest concepts, like, hey, what are you doing with that T-Rex? Oh, I sold it. It's being shipped off in 2 weeks. I bet I can make a movie out of that. That just blows my mind, too.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, somebody went up to a filmmaker and said, hey, I got this thing. You should make a movie with it. And a week later, he comes back to the guy and says, okay, you ready to make the movie now?
And like, there's
no way that's going to be good.
Yeah.
And this is the result.
Plus, like, a bunch of people that's in it kind of either went off to be in a bunch of other stuff or went off to be famous.
Right. I love the goofy cops, though.
Oh, yeah. Buck Flowers is great in anything. Plus, one of the boyfriends, hoodlum buddies.
Right.
He's like been in every fucking thing, man. He the one that got his guts ripped out. Like he was
Weasel,
in,
yeah.
Yeah, People Under the Stairs. He was in Jury Duty.
Yep.
The guy's a great actor. He's been in like a ton of
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, Sean Whalen.
Yeah, he's great.
He's been in so much stuff. He's got...
he got his start in that damn commercial where about Aaron Burr and the motherfucker's like, I don't know, he can't drink any milk. He's like eating peanut butter sandwiches. And it's like a radio calling show. And it's about like who got assassinated, whether, you know, it was Aaron Burr. And he keeps on trying to say Aaron Burr, but like...
Oh, yeah, I know which commercial you're talking about now.
Yeah, that was that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Let's see. He has, oh my God, this guy's got so many credits. He's got like 142 credits, starting with Ferris Bueller, the TV series.
Yeah, that's a great show.
Revenge of the Nerds 3, The Next Generation. He was in Lois and Clark. He was in La Femme Nikita, Never Been Kissed. He was in the 2000 reboot of Charlie's Angels. He was in Spin City. There was a lot of people in this movie that have been in spins. And, of course, we got to have a Star Trek reference. He was in Enterprise. We almost made it through the whole damn podcast without mentioning Star Trek.
We're slipping, dude. Must be the weather.
I know. It must be. That was fun. We should do that again. All right, man. I think that's a podcast.
Hell yeah.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. We had a lot of fun making it. Be sure to subscribe and leave a rating wherever you hear us. You can follow CDF Pod on Facebook and Instagram or at CDF_pod on Twitter. You can also visit our website at cdfpod.com. And don't forget, you can help us make donations to film schools all across the country by going to patreon.com/cdfpod. Join us next time as we explore another movie so awesome, it probably shouldn't have been made.